Good morning, everyone.
It's good to see you all. Does that work? Yeah. Is that good? There we go. We don't have lapel mic. Well, we've just installed a lapel mic in our church. So usually we're having to juggle our notes, our Bibles, and the microphone. So this is quite nice having one of these. I've titled this morning as Are You a Builder? Which I think John may have mentioned during the week when I told John what the title was, and it was either you or I think you suggested it. When we were looking at the passage, we were like, oh, so we're talking about the building the house on the rock. But it's not that scripture, sorry. that's not what I'm focusing on this morning, but it's Are You a Builder? So it's wonderful to be back. Maria's been reminiscing all week about the fourth Sunday specials, was it? Yeah, fourth Sunday specials that she used to be here in the evenings for. But anyway, at the start of this year, at our church, we had a bit of a crisis. Our pastor went into hospital. And even worse, he went off sick for a few weeks. Oh no, what do we do as the church? The pastor's not here. What are we going to do? We kind of have some experience of managing without a pastor, as I'm sure you are. But the last time when our previous ministers retired, it was the person that's now pastor was our elder, and he was the one leading us. So this time it was down to us and the rest of the leadership team. We had some help from one of our members of our congregation. He's also a retired minister, so he helped a bit as well. But what was interesting was that our pastor received lots of well wishes. He was told by head office, by our Elim head office, to make sure you take enough sick leave, make sure you take enough to come back well and fighting. But he had lots of messages of get well soon. But there was also two people from another church over the other side of South End to us that offered to help our little church. They were supportive of everything that we were doing and that we do. And they didn't only offer to help preach, they also helped to clean the toilets as well. They were willing to get stuck in wherever we needed them to help. So this got me thinking, okay, a church and individuals in that church from all the way over the other side of South End. So we're Lee side, these are from South Church Way. They weren't only willing to support John, pray for our Pastor John, but they were willing to help us. And they were still willing to help us even after the pastor came back. They said, if you ever need anything, come and ask us. They supported us at our stand that we had at South End City Day, and they're willing to continue to support us in building the kingdom. So I'm using this as an example. You see, they could see that we could do with help, and they offered practical assistance. They saw part of the church hurting, and they came to help. They were and are kingdom living. We see in Scripture so often, it's practical help that's needed, isn't it? We see Jesus, he doesn't just heal people. He provided wine for a wedding. He provided bread and fish for food. David, he didn't just pray that Goliath would be gone. He didn't just pray, Lord, pray that we, the Israelites, will overcome Goliath. He saw the issue and he trusted that God had already won the battle, and he was willing to go out there and prove it. He was kingdom living. So what do I mean by kingdom and kingdom living? Jesus spoke about the kingdom a lot in the Gospels. It was mentioned in some versions 126 times. Jesus would say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And it reads in Acts how Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. John Piper says, "God decided the kingdom of God would be most gloriously revealed in a crucified and risen king." Jesus, the king, came to earth to establish his saving rule, first in the hearts of his people and in their relationships by triumphing over sin, Satan, and death, then by exercising his reign, gathered a people for himself in congregations that live as citizens of a new allegiance of the kingdom, not of this world. Then he shall return to establish a new king, a new heavens and a new earth. You see, the kingdom is both present and a future state. And Jesus tried to explain this to his disciples in the parable of the 10 minas, which is our reading today from Luke 19, 11 to 27. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, "Therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, 'Engage in business until I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to reign over us.' And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they have gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, 'Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more.' And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant. Because of you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities.' And the second came, 'Lord, your mina has made 5 minas.' And he said to him, 'And you are to be over 5 cities.' Then another came, saying, 'Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow.' He said to him, 'I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest?' And he said to those who stood by, 'Take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10. And they said to him, 'Lord, he has 10. I tell you that to everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me.'" The kingdom's both here and not. Jesus came to have the victory. He came, he defeated death. And so often there are people that reject him. And so often there are people that don't use what they've been given. The kingdom's both here and not. Quite simply because the kingdom of God is God's reign, his sovereign action in the world to redeem and deliver a people, and then at a future time finish it and renew his people and the universe completely. So when I talk about living in the kingdom, I mean living with a mindset and an infilling of the Holy Spirit that means you are living in the present kingdom as well as the kingdom that is to come. We're living not solely as citizens of this world, but as citizens of heaven, as children of God. He's bestowed upon us the Holy Spirit to help us reach that final kingdom. He has provided us with heavenly gifts and giftings to help establish his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We recently ran an Alpha course at our church. Has anyone been to an Alpha course before? Or run an Alpha course before? One of the sessions is about healing. And we explored these gifts of the Spirit and asked the question, does God still heal today? We had examples, they were both on the Alpha video and in the room, of miraculous healings. One of the most amazing miracles, or healing miracles, that I've seen was when I worked at a major trauma centre in London, and I worked in operating theatres up there. And this patient had serious complications and they needed urgent surgery. I was on the anaesthetic side, and when you're on the anaesthetic side, you're basically the one that's trying to keep the patient alive while they do the operation. And we could see with all the observations and all the numbers that we were getting back from all the different devices attached to the patient that the patient was not well. They were critically ill, and even if they were able to fix the problem, they might not be able to bring the person back to full healing, and they might not make it. And myself and a colleague who's also a Christian, we were both there praying silently for this patient. And I mean, the patient may have had other people praying for him as well. We don't know. But they opened him up and they went through everything inside, trying to find what was wrong. And they couldn't find it. They couldn't find what was wrong with this patient. And as they were looking, we could see on the screen, on our monitors, the patient was getting better. We were having to give less pain meds and things. So the patient was getting better. And they didn't understand why. They didn't understand what the problem was. The patient who we'd expected to go to ITU or critical care, intubated, still asleep, didn't. They woke up and went into recovery. And nobody could explain it. And I remember talking about it afterwards with my colleagues. And nobody could deny that it wasn't a miracle, because they didn't understand how someone that had been that ill could be now as well as they were and make a full recovery. You see, kingdom living means using your Spirit-given gifts. Praying for others, it means to see every church as one church, every individual as a part of that church. By helping one, you're helping the kingdom. You're building the kingdom. And the kingdom is wherever you are led to, where, regardless of whether that's in your own context or where you're at or somewhere else. At the end of Acts chapter 2, that's the chapter where the Holy Spirit fills the apostles. Where the Holy Spirit fills the apostles, you know, they have the flames on their heads and everything. Over 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Let's read from Acts 2, from verse 42. It's called The Fellowship. It's titled in my Bible, The Fellowship of the Believers. So here it is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. People were devoted to the church. They were devoted to the teachings of the apostles, which were the teachings of Jesus. They were devoted to fellowship and to prayer. Awe came upon every soul. When was the last time you were filled with awe? Many signs and wonders were done, and they were glad with what they had. They praised God for it, and they had favor with all people. So yeah, when was the last time you were in awe of something that God had done, that you had seen God do? When did you last read the teachings of the apostles? When did you last give praise to God for something you had? When did you last witness something amazing, these amazing signs and wonders? When was the last time you experienced or you felt that the Holy Spirit was with you? The scriptures teach about spiritual giftings. Have you experienced those giftings? And if so, when did you last use them? 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11 reads, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." When did you last see or experience this? Paul said it's for everyone, not just the early church, but for my church. For this church here, for the church down the road. And you know, there's some keys to kingdom living. If the kingdom is God's reign, then surely we need to know God as much as he allows us. Whenever I preach, I tend to stress this, but read the word, reading the word of God. That's one of the keys to kingdom living, because it's the word of God. You've got the teachings of Jesus. You've got the teachings of the apostles in here. You've got the story, God's story in there. James tells us in his book in 1:22 that the power of Scripture doesn't just come by hearing, but by living it out. Scripture has the power to radically change the way we live, but we must first take the effort to read it and then actually do what it says. We have to pray and spend time with the King of this kingdom. We have to use the giftings that are given us, and we have to pray in the Spirit. We have to know the Lord. Later in Corinthians, in that chapter 12, Paul asks if everyone has all the giftings, and regardless of the answer, in verse 31 it says this, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way." Church, let's earnestly desire the higher gifts. Let's earnestly desire them. I have an audio clip that I'd like to play. This is something that Daniel Kalender has said. He works with Christ for All Nations and worked with Reinhard Bonnke who was an African evangelist that went to Africa. So let's listen to this. Yeah.
This is the mistake that a lot of people make. You see, you can do different things, but if your life is built on the same foundation, no matter what you do, it's still all going to be swept away. So rather than thinking about what can I do differently, how can I modify my behavior, why don't you ask this question? This year, I'm going to make sure my life is built on a firm foundation. And my friend, there's only one foundation that's worth building a life on. There's only one foundation that will never move, it will never crack, it will never crumble. No matter what storm comes, no matter what winds blow, no matter what the enemy shoots at you, no matter how fierce and ferocious the fire of hell becomes around you, there's one foundation that will never be moved. It's the rock of ages. It's Jesus Christ. It's His word. It's His kingdom.
Let's build a firm foundation. I was talking about building earlier, but let's build on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's build on the rock. Dr. Griffith Thomas wrote this about this small, short paragraph about being alone with God, which is something Jesus did a lot. In His light, we shall see where we are and what we are. In His grace will be our strength. And in His presence, we shall shrink like a sensitive plant from the faintest approaches of evil. With contemplation and consecration, faith and faithfulness, our lives will be lives of power and blessing. So, Rochford Congregational Church, let's build a firm foundation built on the rock, studying His word, praising Him in everything, practicing the gifts that He gives us, spending time with His church, and as Jesus did, spend time with Him alone. This morning, I know I've flitted about a bit. I've gone for kingdom, healing, spiritual giftings, fellowship, read the Bible, pray, desire higher gifts, spending time with God alone and building a firm foundation. And the reason I've gone across them all is because it adds up. It all adds up to the kingdom of heaven, to living the kingdom. So where are we at? Where are you at as individuals, as a church? Donald Barnhouse says this: the Lord Jesus is coming again. He has left us here for one purpose. The purpose is not to get us ready for heaven. Our readiness is Christ, but to witness to the world that Christ offers salvation, and to witness against the world that rejection brings judgment. To the world for salvation and against the world for condemnation. Kingdom living is kingdom building. So are you a builder? I'm going to ask, Maria's going to come and just play a song over us. But we want this to be an opportunity for you to respond to what the Lord is saying, what the Lord's saying in His words, and what He's said through his message. So let's pray. Father God, thank You for this morning. Thank You for all that You've done for us, all that You are doing for us. Lord, I pray that we will be kingdom living, Lord. I pray that we will use what You've given us. I pray that we will move closer to You as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you.
To have your way in our lives. Lord, we want to give you our hearts, offer up every part of our life to you. Lord, we want to build upon your firm foundation. Lord, we want to be part of your kingdom, to build your kingdom in this place. For each of us, that will look different. But that's what makes us the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you that we are here together. As your family, as your body, working for your good, Lord. Amen.
Let's conclude our time with prayer. Father, we thank you for your word that you've laid upon our hearts. Are we builders? Are we independent builders? Or are we builders directed by your hand? Lord, we want to have our hearts beating with your heart. We want that desire, Lord, to honour you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. And every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Father, we want to echo those words. We want to say them from the bottom of our hearts. Even knowing that maybe 2 minutes down the road or a week down the road, we'll trip up, we'll fall, and we will not have fulfilled the desire of our hearts to truly honour you, to truly live our lives for you, to give testimony in our workplace, seeing the monitors, seeing your hand at work. Oh Lord, take control of our lives. And as we go from this place, take your word to and work it in our hearts day by day. And when we trip up and when we fall, may we be reminded that you pick up the fallen, you pick up the broken. You just call us to come to you and recognize, Lord, I've failed again. Please take control. So now as we part, Lord, we ask your blessing upon us, the blessing of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to abide with us and remain with us till we meet again or till you call, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, folks.